Burniston, in the East End of Glasgow. The statistics tell us of greater levels of alcoholism, drug abuse and skelly eyes than any other area in the UK. But behind the statistics, I see the community where I was born. The result of a one-night stand between my mother, a Bearsden law student, and my father, a Burniston lawbreaker. He was a man I rarely saw, but when I did, he filled my head with stories of his beloved Burniston. My father died last year when he accidentally set fire to his shoes in confession. He is gone, but Burniston remains. I am drawn to it by the need to know my father and know myself. This is Burniston. My father was a boxer in his youth. He always told us that he could have been a champion if he hadn't been absolutely rubbish. As a small boy, I used to enjoy the homely comfort of smelling inside his gym bag. Or at least I did until the night when one of his friends shat in it. In Burniston, I was surprised to find that my father's old gym was still open and felt compelled to visit.
We've been running this gym for 40 years, haven't we, Bobby?
40 years, Bobby.
40 years. And we've never trained a world champion, have we, Bobby?
Never trained a world champion in our puff, Bobby.
That's right, Bobby. And also none of your fighters have ever even won a fight, have they, Bobby?
Never won a fight, Bobby.
That's right, Bobby.
Well, I was hoping that maybe I could do some training with you and learn a little more about boxing.
That's great. What we'll do is this. I'll lie down on the floor here, face down, right, like this. And what's going to happen is, you're going to get down on top of me, right? Face down, right on top of me.
Just get on top here?
That's it. Just get on top of me here. On my body.
Right. Just that. Right.
Right. Oh, that's it. That's good. Right. Oh, that's good. That's nice. And grind your hips.
Right. I'm just...
Tell yourself you're a world champion and grind your hips.
Oh, all right.
Grind me down now. Oh, grind me.
Okay.
Grind your hips on me.
Okay.
Pummel me.
Okay.
And jab.
What, with my left hand?
With your hips. Jab me with your hips. Jab right into me.
Right.
Right in me now. Right in me.
I don't understand why this would be...
You know what would be better? If we give you a wee demonstration. Bobby!
Hi, Bobby!
While he's lying there on top of me, you lie right on top of him, me and the sandwich.
You just stay there, son. Funny year of this, son. Stay where you are.
And grind right into him.
Oh, aye. Funny year of this.
Pound him, Bobby.
Funny year.
And jab. What two, Bobby? What two?
Funny year. Feel the jab in you, son. Feel the jab.
Grind him down, Bobby. Grind him down.
It became apparent that I wasn't cut out to be a boxer. It seems I was cursed with what boxers call a glass arse. One of the first things you hear about Burniston is its high level of crime. But I felt that the statistics made things seem much worse than they actually are. I met a man called Joe, who was determined to leave his criminal past behind. Those boys just stole my glasses off my face.
I'm staying out this time, I mean it. See that suit I'm wearing? This is the first suit I've ever worn, no? This means something, this suit. This is the suit I'll be wearing to job interviews, no? What's that saying, they say? The clothes make you for man, aye? Well, this suit is going to be the making of me, no? I'm sick of worrying my family, no? All I've ever done is gee my ma worry. See, for this day on, right, I'm going to make my mammy proud. Hang on, that'll probably be the police.
Hello, Joe. Just had a guy down at the station in his underpants. Says you stole his suit.
Aye, I've got to own. Am I going to jail?
Aye.
Right, you better let my ma know.
The rising level of crime in Burniston has become too much for some people. Law-abiding residents are starting to take matters into their own hands.
Right. Something has got to be done about all the crime and the drug dealers in Burniston. The police aren't doing anything about it. So, therefore, we've got to do something about it, haven't we?
That's right.
So we've decided to form a vigilante organisation. We're called the Black Panthers.
Oh, we can't be the Black Panthers. It's been done.
What are you, the Blue Panthers?
I'm scared of panthers.
What are blue rhinos?
I'm scared of rhinos.
Well, what animal are you not scared of?
My granny's budgie.
All right. Well, the Blue Budgie's right. And we're going to deal with all the drug dealers ourselves. We're taking matters into our own hands like Chuck Norris. So, we know one drug dealer that stays in this street, right? So, right, what the plan is, right? You are going to go up to his house.
I'm not going up to his house.
Aye?
No, you go up to his house. That's the plan. The plan is, you go up to his house.
I'm not going up to his house. He'll kill me. You're going up.
I'm not going up to his house. He hates me. The plan is, right, we go up the street, right, like Chuck Norris, and you go up to his house yourself.
No. He says if he sees me again, he'll pure slap me. He says I'm a fandan.
He called me a rascal. A rascal's worse than a fandan.
A rascal's no worse than a fandan. A rascal's an affectionate slagging. He told me he loves you.
He hates me. He called me a torag. You need go up his house.
He told me he'd love it if you went up his house as a vigilante. If he thinks I'm a vigilante, he'll pure kill me.
Look, we've got a balaclava. You put the balaclava on. And you go up his house!
I'll put a balaclava on, but I'm not going up his house. I'll put a balaclava on here and just sit here, and then you can go up his house.
What are you doing sitting here with a balaclava on? He called me a rascal. I need a balaclava.
What for?
I'm a rascal.
He says your ma's all right.
He said your ma's all right.
Right. We've not thought about this enough.
No, we've not planned it properly.
So, we'll need to go and plan it again, and then we'll come back tomorrow.
Right. And then you go up his house!
No, you go up his house!
I heard an interesting story about Burniston while listening to the director's commentary on Attack of the Clones. George Lucas was talking about a boy with a rare and extraordinary talent, and two respected Burniston parents determined to exploit that talent to the fullest.
Well, we came home one day, last March or something it was, my man Frank will tell you.
That's right, Margaret.
And where was it we were that day?
We were at the dog show.
And they didn't expect us to win that day, did they, Frank?
They did not, Margaret.
We sorted them right out, I'll tell you that, didn't we?
Oh, that's right, Margaret.
We came home and we went upstairs and little Ivor, our boy, we heard this banging noise from his room, didn't we, Frank?
Banging and banging and banging. And you know, the thing is, I keep dogs. And what I like in a dog is that a dog is a dog and a bitch is a bitch.
We're not talking about the dogs, Frank. So we went up there and we opened the door. And let me tell you this. I'm a mother and I expect a certain level of sexual experimentation from your boy when they get to that certain age.
Sexual experiments.
And we walked into the room and I tell you, I was slack-jawed, so I was.
Your jaw had never been so slack, Margaret.
Our boy Ivor is down on the floor, face down, so he was. And he was just humping that floor. Bang, bang, his wee hips were just humping away.
Humping away. Practising for when he wants to breed.
Oh, and I tell you, I was staring at this and I thought to myself, he's awfully good at that, isn't he, Frank?
That's right, we thought he's fantastic at that.
He's bloody talented at humping that floor, isn't he, Frank?
That's right, and you know, the thing is, I keep dogs, and I like a masculine dog to be all dog and a female dog to be all bitch.
Frank, we're not talking about the dogs just now. I've got a mind to sort you right out. We're talking about your talented son. I tell him this all the time. I say, when you find out your child has a great talent, you have to push him all the way. That's exactly what I say. I say, you've got to learn that you have to get right behind your boy when he's humping the floor like that. Ivor, show the man. Come on, hump it. Hump it, come on. Faster, hump it. Come on, you can do better than that, Ivor. Hump it. Don't make me sort you right out.
Even though young Ivor was 100 times better at floor humping than I had ever been, I wasn't sure how far that talent could take you in a modern world of Commodore 64s and soda streams. Margaret's determination, however, could not be questioned.
Having a motor is kind of symbolic, no? It's a sign that you have moved on and progressed a bit in life. And that's what this motor is going to mean to me, no? It's going to be a sign to people, especially my ma, who I'm sick of worrying. I'm moving on in the world. I'm leaving my life of crime behind. Hang on, this police wants to talk to me.
All right, Joe. This your motor?
No, I stole it. Am I going to jail?
Aye.
Right, you better let my ma know.
One of the most endearing things about communities like Burniston is the way everyone leaps out of the bed, pram or wheelchair at the faintest tinkle of the ice cream van. A trip to the Icy is an opportunity to chat with the neighbours while you queue for a 10p bag of Bobby Sookers. Isn't that rude?
Right, what can I do you for, wee man?
Can I have an Aero, please? Hey, what are you wanting an arrow for anyway? You better not be wanting my arrow, because it's all my chocolate anyway.
Walter, I'm trying to serve the wee boy.
No, you're not serving him. The last time you talked to that boy, you gave him my chocolate anyway.
Walter, if you're going to come out in the van, you need to learn how the business works.
Right, well, I'm going to watch you then anyway.
Good, just watch. Don't talk.
I just said I'd just watch you anyway.
Okay, sorry about my brother, wee man. What do you want?
Can I have an arrow?
You're not having an arrow. An arrow's my chocolate anyway.
You said you wouldn't speak.
I'm not speaking. It's my chocolate and you're giving it to the boy.
We need to sell chocolate so we get money, so we have a house.
Let me serve the boy.
You? What if he asks for an arrow?
If I'm the boss, he can have one anyway, okay?
Okay. You serve him.
And what do you want, stupid, smelly, ugly boy? You can only have rubbish plain crisps or disgusting licorice.
No, be nice, Walter. Tell him he can have an arrow if he wants.
Right, you can have an arrow if you want anyway. What do you want?
An arrow?
No, what do you keep saying an arrow for? An arrow's my chocolate.
Right, that's you, Walter. Away you go. You're costing his business. Look, there's your favourite song on the radio. Go and sing it.
I don't know any songs, but I'll go and sing it anyway.
Right, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Can I have an arrow?
Shh. Spell it.
Can I have an A-E-R-O?
Right, that's 45 pence for an A-E-R-O.
I know what A-E-R-E-R-O spells. It spells my chocolate anyway. That boy's away and he's got my arrow, that boy.
Walter, I've got other customers.
What if I was to take one of your things off, like your trousers? How about I take your stupid trousers off, eh? And your wig?
Let go, there's people in the queue.
I'll take your stupid pants off again as well, and I'll wear them on my head anyway.
Right, take my trousers and my wig, but leave my pants on, please.
I want my chocolate back anyway.
You can have chocolate at the end of the night.
Can I drive the van now, please?
Oh, don't be silly. Look, there's your wee toy car. Why don't you drive that across the dashboard? Eh? On you go.
Okay, I'll take my car and drive it away. But I need your pants off to make a tunnel for it anyway. A tunnel on my head!
Get off me!
Meanwhile, back at the Burniston gym, Bobby was putting a new prospect to the test.
Swing your sack! Come on now! 1-2! 1-2! Swing your sack! Rattle your sack right off my baldy head now! Right off my baldy nuts! Combination!
I had always planned to go back to the house where my father grew up to see who lived there now. There was a family with two teenage brothers, and they reminded me of the relationship I had with my own brother before he went away for a year and came back as my sister.
Right, there's this lassie, right, in school, and I fancy her, but I don't really know what to say, you know?
Oh, that's because your wee pubes are starting to sprout, know what I mean?
But I don't know how to approach her, so I thought you could give me a wee bit of help. I heard her saying she likes a creative guy.
A creative guy, yeah? That's a good sign, because nice, decent lassies like a creative guy, know what I mean? That's pure cultured elegance, that, know what I mean? So I tell you what you want to do. You've got to get creative, know what I mean? You've got to get artistic. So why don't you, like, make a collage or something for her? Here's what you do. You get a lot of different pictures of naked people, because that's dead artistic, so get some really, really naked guys and women. And then go and climb up a tree outside her house and get your camera and see when she can't see you, because you don't want to blow the surprise. Take some photos of her, and then you stick your photos of your head on the naked bodies.
Right.
And you've got to get kind of abstract as well so that you look different. So some crazy wild images, elephants giving birth, dogs pissing against flags.
Right.
Right, and you stick her head onto these pissing dogs.
Right.
But you've got to prove that you're not obsessive about her either, because lassies don't like guys that obsess over them. So why don't you take some photos of another person? Lad granny.
Right, or her da.
Aye, and get their photos and shove them onto pissing dogs and naked guys as well. Stick them on a girl so it's like a big pit. A big pit or these riding bodies with her family's heads all sticking out of them all. Or licking things. That'd be brilliant. Or her face, right, as a cow's udders, right? And you've got a squirrel with her granny's head and it's just sucking the milk out of her udders.
Right.
But you've got to be mysterious as well. So take collages and sneak into your house in the middle of the night, naked, like an artist, and put the collages under her pillow. And send her a wee letter saying, I did this for you so that you know I'm a creative guy.
Right.
Next thing, she's yours.
I felt I couldn't get to the heart of Burniston and close enough to my father's past without visiting one of the many local pubs. The Mad Shagger seemed like a good place to start. I just wanted to sit and listen to these real Burniston working men and not make any eye contact in case I got punched.
See the next time you're watching Grease.
Grease, aye.
And you get to the bit at the end when Olivia Newton-John turns up in all the sexy gear.
Aye.
I don't want you to imagine me wearing all that sexy gear. I don't want you to imagine me with my hair all up and permed, the figure-hugging black trousers, the high-heel shoes and the painted toenails. I don't want you to imagine me like that and like the thought of it.
Fair enough, mate.
I don't want you to do that.
I can't argue with that, mate. But right, you've got to promise me some.
What's that, bud?
See you next time we're in the bookies.
Aye.
And I've got my glasses on to check a form.
Aye.
I don't want you to look at me and imagine walking up to me while romantic music swells in the background.
Right, bud.
I don't want you to imagine taking my glasses off slowly and that when you do that, my long blonde hair comes piling down and I shake it off free. And suddenly I'm beautiful, like my mammy promised I'd be. I don't want you to imagine taking my roll-up from my lips and leaning forward and kissing me softly while my perfect skin glows in the summery haze drifting in the bookies windy.
Nae bother, bud. You don't need to worry about that. See the next time you see a Bugs Bunny cartoon, right?
Aye.
And Bugs Bunny tricks Elmer Fudd be kidding on he's a woman.
Fudd? Aye.
I don't want you to think that if I was ever out hunting in the forest that you would be able to get away with that with me, right?
Right.
I don't want you to imagine putting on a sexually provocative dress, a long blonde wig and a gorgeous shade of red lipstick and then kissing me and making me fall in love with you before revealing your true identity and then imagining that it didn't matter that you weren't a real woman because I'd loved you all along anyway. I don't want you to do that.
I'll try not to hang out for you, right?
No bother, bud.
I'll try not to hang out just for you. You've got to promise me something, but...
What's that, bud?
See the next time you're watching Rocky 3 and you're jumping up and down in your couch, screaming with excitement at a big fight at the end.
Right, bud.
You've got to promise me that when the film finishes, you don't wish that you were Rocky.
Right.
And that when the guy puts a microphone in your face at the end of the fight, you don't picture yourself shouting, "John, my best mate, I done it." And promise me, you don't imagine me running into the ring with my lipstick on and my handbag in heels, and I'm green. And you pick me up in your big, strong arms and cuddle me in slow motion.
Right, bud.
You've got to promise me.
I won't do that, bud.
It was surprising to hear that conversation between friends in Burniston follows much the same path as conversation between friends anywhere in the world. I was pleasantly surprised to find that I wasn't the only chronicler of events in the area. The Burniston Herald, the local newspaper, was published every Saturday. It was famous as the only newspaper in Britain to have a page three girl with pop-up breasts.
What have you got for me, son?
The big thing that happened is three masked armed men walked into Leeske's bar and opened fire, injuring the barmaid.
Ah, I don't like it. I don't like that it's three men. Make it less men or you're fired.
Two men.
Less men than that. Hurry up.
One man.
What did they look like?
They were masked.
I don't like it. I don't like masks. Change it or you're fired.
They had hats on.
What kind of hats?
Top hats.
Right, I like it. Where are we now? Back to the beginning.
One man with a top hat on walked into Leeske's bar.
Not walking. I don't like walking. Change it.
He rolled.
He rolled. That's it. We're selling papers now.
He rolled into Leeske's bar.
Not Leeske's bar. I hate that. Don't make me fire you.
He rolled into my granny's veranda and opened fire.
I hate him opening fire. Make him open something else.
His legs.
No.
Crisps.
He opened crisps. I like it. Where are we now? Back to the beginning. Hurry up.
A man with a bowler hat on.
Top hat.
A man with a top hat on rolled into my granny's veranda and opened crisps.
Right.
And the barmaid got injured.
No, not the barmaid. Somebody else. Hurry up. I'm firing you.
The wife. The farmer's wife.
The farmer's wife got not injured. Something else. We're selling papers.
Spanked.
Spanked. Give me the whole story. Back to the beginning.
A man rolled.
A man with a top hat on. Integrity.
A man with a top hat on rolled into my granny's veranda, opened crisps, and the farmer's wife got spanked.
I like it. What's the headline? No more than three words, remember? Move.
The spanky wifeys.
I love it. Print it.
I got myself a private taxi in Burniston. Don't ever get a private taxi in Burniston.
I'll get you there in 10 minutes, son. But to tell the truth, pal, I'm not feeling too hot. But the wife needs a...
The wife needs a hoover. So I'll just take a shot in my oxygen and... off we go. Now, if we're on the road and I black out, just batter the oxygen mask on my face and hold the wheel until my heart starts up again, right? No bother. Right as rain. Let's get going. Oh, we're in God's hands now. Listen, you want the radio up so you don't need to hear me praying. Yeah. Though I drive through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear no evil, because my wife needs a hoover.
Don't ever get a private taxi in Burniston. Ever.
I see trees of green, red roses too.
Special parts for big bummed ladies.
I took a walk to the Burniston car boot sale, a place where people could go to buy back stuff they'd had stolen from them. I chanced upon a fascinating regular, a strange fellow pushing a pram.
So, what are you selling here, then?
Some records and that.
Let's have a look. That's lovely sandy hair you've got there, by the way.
Thanks very much.
Now let's see what you've got. All in good condition. An MC Hammer, 12 inches. Seems to turn up like a bad penny, that one. And speaking of turning up, what would you be doing with my father's watch?
There's not a watch in there.
What would you be doing with my father's stolen watch as I presented to you here in my hands?
That's the Boz Scaggs album there. Is that what you're talking about?
That's my father's stolen watch, I think you'll find. I don't think he'll be very pleased about this when he comes out of his pram. Father! Someone out here is in possession of your stolen watch.
My watch! My stolen watch!
Your timepiece, father.
My timepiece! My timepiece for my wrist.
It was on his wrist when it happened.
Oh, that was the night it all happened. They came and they cut it off me.
My father's watch back in the fold at last.
Is that him?
Oh, the sandy haired rogue.
I recognise his skin.
Take your watch back, father.
But...
I recognise his skin. I want to wear it.
This bony, sandy-haired rogue here.
Let me see his hair. Let me see his scalp rug. I recognise his skin for the night of the burning.
The burning?
My father's watch here still ticking away, ticking away. Where's it leading us, father?
Tick tock, tick tock.
I think we should drag him home into our basement, father.
We'll take him into the basement and we'll do things.
Nice things.
Horrible things.
Nice horrible things.
I love the things.
There'll be posters up all over the country looking for that sandy-haired rogue on the side of milk cartons.
Tick tock.
And you and me'll be married in the morning, you bonny blue-eyed sandy-haired rascal. The bells will be ringing out in the basement for the happy couple.
We'll ring ye out, let the washing, let dirty bed sheets.
Where are you going? I wanted to buy some Boz Scaggs. Ah, he's away. What time is it, Fenner?
I don't know. Somebody stole my watch.
I wanted to find out how young JP had got on with his courting. I couldn't help but think of my first kiss with a girl, and if it would ever actually happen.
Right, I sent the lassie that collage, but I don't think it worked very well.
It didn't work?
No. The next time I saw her, she started screaming for the police.
Oh, just plain hard to get, that's all that is. I mean, she's falling in love with you.
I was listening into her, talking with one of her pals, right? And she says that this boy, she kissed him, and he wanted her to touch his wee man. And she says she didn't want to touch a guy's wee man. She would never do that.
Ah, right. Well, what you need to do is, right, get a camera, right, sit yourself in front of a mirror, right, and take a couple of snaps of you touching your own Wally. You know what I mean?
Aye.
You've done that before, aye?
Aye, man.
Just get a couple of photos of you touching your ain, Wally, right? Take them down to the library and get hundreds of photocopies of them, right? Go down to her house, right, middle of the night or something like that. Get naked, mind. You're still an artist. And put them through the letterbox, right on the back of them, right? Hey, this is just to prove to you that until you want to touch my Wally, you don't have to, because I'm more than happy to touch it myself, right? And she's really going to appreciate that. And see the kind of person that's considerate like that, you're not just making her happy, you're making her man da happy as well, because you're the people that want a decent boy for her daughter, know what I mean?
Will I send her ma and da pictures of me touching my wee man as well?
Send him the pictures as well! And right on the back of him, Mr. Whatever your name is, I just want to tell you that I was thinking about you when I was touching my ain Wally and taking a photo of it to send to your daughter. Before you know it, wee man, she's yours.
I'd spent a whole week in Burniston, and yet, as I lay twitching in my hotel toilet from bum cramps, I still felt no closer to my father. Was he anything like these people, or was he nothing like them, and that was why he left? I resolved to stay until I'd found my answers, but the question remained, would Burniston ever show its true face to me? And would that face be beautiful and welcoming like a lost sister, or ugly and evil like Trapjaw from He-Man? My name is Simon Scott, and that was Burniston.
Burniston was written and performed by Ian Connell and Robert Florence, with additional voices by Alan Miller. The producer was Neil Clark. Burniston is a Comedy Unit production for BBC Radio Scotland.